1 Corinthians chapter number 9, beginning at verse number 1, the Bible says this. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, ye doubtless, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. Mine answer to them that do examine me is this. Have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles? And as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas, or I only and Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working? Who goeth to warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, Thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care of oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, it is a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things. If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me, for it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me, what is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel.
Amen.
Amen. Paul is writing back to the church at Corinth. He is defending his faith, defending the gospel, defending his call to be an apostle. In all this, Paul, as inspired by the Holy Ghost, writes to strengthen the faith of those he has had the opportunity to witness to. He constantly reminded them of the miracle of salvation and the special place that we hold in God's heart because of our confession of faith. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16, this is what he says. He says, Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? And the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. That's the miracle of salvation. He says, I want you to remember that. How special you are. And then he goes on to say, If any man defiles the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. We're the temple of God. We're God's building. And Paul is constantly calling the church, calling us to holiness, because God is holy. And we are to be his holy people, his holy temple. We are to be holy in our worship, holy in our relations with one another, holy in our disputes with one another. In our choices for marriage, we are to be holy. In our choices before marriage, holy. In how we present ourselves to the unbelieving world, we're to be holy. In our expression of the liberty that God has given us through salvation, holy. And even as we studied last week, how we support the man of God and his word is to be a holy venture. And this week, Paul describes his true motivation, his reward for doing the work that he did for the Lord. And while God ordains that the man of God is to be supported by the people of God, by their gifts and their offerings, God expects that the man of God is to be motivated by his calling, not by what he can get out of it, not to make a living, but to make a difference in the lives of people. That's what the calling is all about. Not to make a living, but to make a difference in the lives of people. And I've titled the message, our subject for today is The Ultimate Reward for the Man of God. with just 2 points. The man of God's true reward is the opportunity of living for the calling. And secondly, of giving for the calling. Two things will be his ultimate reward. Not a living, but a difference. All right, so let's get started with living for the calling. And look back at 1 Corinthians 9:15 there in your bulletin again. He says, but I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. Paul was an evangelist, a missionary to all Gentiles, and he never expected to stay in any one place as a pastor of a church. His calling was to impart the gospel and to teach faithful men and women how to take that same gospel and share it with others over and over and over again, that they might share it over and over and over and over again. And he wanted to protect the gospel against any accusations. He didn't want anything that he did or did not do to distract the people from the heart of God. And I think that's one of the things that as a man of God, as those who will stand before the people of God, we got to be real careful that we know that we cannot, that God is going to hold us accountable for anything that we do that distracts people away from the heart of God. Amen. Anything that distracts people from the heart of God. So he writes, yes, God ordained that his messengers, the pastors, the priests, the preachers, were to be supported by the people, by their offering. But I have used none of those things, not previously, and I do not intend to do so in the future, he says. He says, neither have I written these things that it should be done unto me. He says, I'm not trying to tell you now that I'm gone that when I come back I expect that you're going to put me on the payroll. Paul was living for the calling. And that was it. He was living for the calling. Paul wanted, he didn't want to accept anything from anyone and would not have changed one thing about the way that he ministered for the Lord. You know, when I was putting this together, it made me think about a song I heard. It said, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. And that's what Paul was saying. Even in the midst of all that I've experienced, I wouldn't take anything for my journey right now. He says, I'm not going to change anything. I wouldn't let anybody change anything. He says, because it would be better for me to just die, to end this thing, than that any man should make my glorying void. Amen. And you know, how would Paul's ministry have been voided, or the glorying of his ministry been voided? His glorying would have been voided if at some point he began to take offerings from those that he ministered to. Why? Because he had made his personal commitment that he would not. And he understood that God had sent him out in faith. And you think about how Paul was called into the ministry. He was not called to go out and to raise support and to go out on the mission field. God called him on the road to Damascus. God gave him his marching orders. God taught him while he was there, and God sent him out. And he sent him out in faith. And just as he had sent out the 12 disciples, he sent the disciples out two by two. He sent Paul out, though, with a message in faith and in great expectation of what God would do. Just as he did for the disciples. How did he send the disciples out? Look at Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, page 736 in your pew Bibles. We see God's mission for those disciples. Mark chapter 6, skip down to verse number 12. How did he send them out? He sent them out in faith. And what instructions did he give them? In Mark chapter 6, verse 7, the Bible says, and he called unto him the 12. And began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits, and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals, and not put on two coats. And he said unto them, in what place soever ye enter into a house, there abide till you depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when you depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily, I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached that men should repent. What was their calling? That they might preach that men should repent. He says, you know what he told them in short? It's a calling, not a living. He says, don't go out with anything
And don't go out in expectation that you're gonna become a rich man because of what you do for the gospel. I think that's one of the distortions today of what's going on in the church, is that the church has somehow gotten this idea that the church has to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and the pastor has to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and so that he is glorified and the church itself is glorified, and God himself misses out on being glorified. But God is, he sent them out with a calling. He says, it's not about making a living. It's about going out and preaching a message that says men should repent. And Paul was living out that calling. The man of God today must be committed to living out that calling, declaring to a world in unbelief that all mankind should repent. First and foremost. And living out the calling means remembering our own salvation and the miracle of our salvation. I keep wanting to remind you of that, because we're all sitting here today because of the miracle of God grabbing onto our hearts. Amen. The miracle. And when we preach to those who are not yet saved, we see the roadblocks. We see the things that are hindering them. And we ought to just pause and say, Lord, thank you for removing those blindness from my eyes. Amen. For separating me from those things that seem to be holding them back. Amen. It's the miracle of salvation. And we got to always remember that. And we are saved only because God drew us to himself. And I think living out the calling means remembering who called who. That's what the man of God, I think. I was thinking about this for myself. I got to always remember who called who. That God called me. You know, he called me for a purpose. And it's his thing. And it's not my thing. And I think that as long as I can keep myself grounded in the fact that God called me into a work that he had already established. And if all of the men of God remember that God call them into a work that he has already established, and if we will just all remember the commands that God has given, and we will apply them as God has told us to apply them. We got to remember that this is God's battle. Amen. And he has charged faithful men to act as soldiers and to go to battle for the gospel. And the man of God who is committed to living out the calling must keep things in perspective, I believe. This is God's battle, God's plan. And let him lead. Now let me show you. This is how Paul put it in perspective. We studied this already. Look at 1 Corinthians 3, page 842. This is how he kept things in perspective for himself, I believe, so that he might remember that the mission field that he was currently working, God had already plowed it, and God had already planted it, and he was using Paul as the one to go out and work the field, so to speak. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, beginning in verse number 7, here's what Paul says, his keeping it in perspective, his remembering that it's God's battle, not his. He says, so then neither is he that planteth anything, and this is regarding the people who were saying, you know, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of this and I'm of that, and Paul was trying to clarify for them that they might remember whose thing this really is. He says, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. This verse right here has really stuck out for me. As God gives me opportunity to stand week after week and share his gospel, we are laborers together with God. That means this is his thing. And his message is that all men should repent. So then that is the message that should be at the first and foremost of the man of God today, that all mankind should repent. Amen. That all mankind should live according to the word of God, because we are just laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, Paul says, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. He says, that's it. That's the calling. That's the calling. He says, now if any man build upon this foundation gold and silver and precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is.
And if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. He says God is not going to take away salvation. That's not his plan. But God certainly wants to reward those who understand the calling and who live it out as he has called upon us to live it out. So Paul says, I have used none of these things. I haven't asked you for money. Neither have I written these things because I'm the evangelist. I'm the missionary. My calling is different. I have determined in myself that I'm gonna work so that the gospel is not distorted. The truth of the word of God is going to be the first and foremost thing that I make evident to the people. He says that it shows. I'm not asking you that you do it now, not in the future. For it would be better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. And he says in verse 16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Paul says, for though I preach the gospel, it's not my gospel. It's God's gospel. And he says, I don't have anything to glory of. I can't save. Salvation is the Lord's. But it's of a necessity is laid upon me to preach this gospel. And he says, woe unto me if I don't. Paul knew the word of God. And I believe that Paul knew that those who God had called, God called with a purpose. Look back in Ezekiel chapter 33, page 634. Paul knew that when God placed a calling on a man's life, that it was God's expectation that the man would carry forth this. And you know, we have a lot of examples in the Bible. We'll just hit on Ezekiel today. But you know, if you want to see someone who tried to not carry forth the calling of God, go and read that little prophet Jonah. And that's what Jonah was all about. God placed a calling on Jonah's life, told him exactly what he wanted him to do. And Jonah said no. He went the opposite direction. And ultimately, when you get to the very end of that little book, Jonah said, well, God, I knew what you were going to do. You're a God of grace. You're a God of mercy. You're a God of love. If they repented, you were going to turn anyway. So what was the point? And God's point was, I told you to go. And go is what I expected. And that's what Paul is saying here. It was a necessity. It was of a necessity that he go. Why could he say that? Because that's what God said to the man of God. So in Ezekiel 33, skip down to verse number 6. I believe Paul knew what it meant to accept the call to declare the word of God. He knew the responsibility, even when he might not have felt like it, and especially when he didn't feel worthy. But God calls us for a purpose. And I believe that God's will be done. That's what we learned from Jonah. That God's will be done. It must be done. So in Ezekiel chapter 33, verse number 6, it really starts in the middle of a thought, but the verses behind it will explain it. It says, but if the workmen see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the watchmen, excuse me, I said workmen. If the watchmen see the sword come and blow not the trumpet and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Now here's the explanation. So thou, O son of man, God is speaking to Ezekiel, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. Now, so what does God say? Same thing Paul said in the New Testament, same thing that Christ said when he walked the earth, that all men should repent, that here is my message, take it and go forth. And God is telling Ezekiel that he set him to be the watchman, and he had given him a specific calling, specific words to say. He said, warn the people what you will hear at my mouth. Verse 8 says, when I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way. That wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. He says, nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Therefore, O Son of God, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us and we pine away in them, how shall we then live? So God called upon Ezekiel to be the watchman, just as God called upon Paul to be the watchman. And Paul says, I'm not going to allow anything to distract it. Ezekiel said here, all right, people, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, if we surrender to our sins, if we refuse to repent, if we vanish away in our sins, he says, if they consume us, how then shall we live? And the answer is, we can't. We can't. We can't live an everlasting life with Christ. And that's why the calling is critical. That's why the calling is critical, to tell all mankind that today is the appointed time to repent. It's not to make a living, but a difference. Living out the calling. Taking the call and taking everything that might come along with it and still staying the course, so that the whole gospel might be taken to the whole world, so that the whole world might believe. It's a personal calling. We gotta see it that way. Now, and I believe that's what Paul did. He saw it that way. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, page 853. Paul saw it as so personal. And I think for the man of God and for the person of God, those who are sitting in the pews and in the chairs out there, for all of us, it's got to be personal. That God has called some of us to be apostles, some to be preachers, some to be teachers, some to be members, some to be evangelists, some of us to take the word forward. Amen. And it is a personal relationship that God has called us into, and it's a personal calling that he's laid on every life, and we got to see it that way. Paul saw his as personal. He owned it. No matter what, celebrations and hardships, he still owned it. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, you see that Paul said, this thing, this calling, God has placed it on my life, and I'm going to live it out no matter what. He says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, verse 1, 2 Corinthians 4, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to everyone's conscience, every man's conscience in the sight of God. He says, you know what? I know that this is a calling. Amen. And I know that I have been called by God to be a representative of God. And he says, and that means I got to take on the heart of God. I got to take on the holiness of God. And he says, we have put all of this stuff that might have been a part of our character to the side and says, we will follow God. Amen. All dishonesty. He says, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God for our own gain. He says, but we're doing everything so that the truth of the gospel might be seen in everything that we do. He says, but if our gospel be hid, verse 3, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You know, and this is what we pray about when we talk about people who have yet to make a decision for Christ. They're blinded. You know, God is aching to fill hearts with the light of the glorious gospel, but he says, no, there are so many that they've been blinded. They've been blinded. Their minds have been blinded by the God of this world. But what is it that's going to make a difference in their lives? It is the calling. It is the gospel. It is the preaching that all men should repent. And that's what Paul knew personally. His personal goal was. In verse 5 he says, for we preach not ourselves, because I can't save anybody, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light, and this is the miracle of salvation right here, guys. He says, those people are blind, but God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. He has given us the miracle. He has shown us. And he says, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for the miracle of salvation, for letting your glorious light shine in my heart. He says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. He says, God has given us. He has shown us this. He has let his glorious light shine in our eyes, in our hearts, not so that we might be glorified, but so that he might. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh, so that we might live out the call, so that we might do what he has called upon us to do. He says, so then death worketh in us, but life in you, so that all men might know that today is the day to repent. Not a living, but a difference. That should be the reward of the man of God. Not to make a living, but to make a difference. The man of God is called to God's work. The ultimate reward, one of them, is that we get to carry forth the word of God in celebration and in trials, but always with power, living for the calling. So how about giving for the calling? Let's look back at our text for today, verse number 17. He says, for if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward, but if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Now, living for the calling requires giving of yourself for the calling as well. Now, Paul established that he accepted the call to carry forth the gospel, but he gets to make choices for himself along the way. Do I or don't I do what God calls on me to do? And he says here, if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. If I do this thing with some reluctance or against my will, still, God has given me a stewardship, a dispensation of the gospel. It's been committed to me. I have a work that must be done. It seems to be Paul's declaration of what Christ said to his disciples in Luke chapter 9. Flip over there. Luke 9, page 760. But it seems to be a similar declaration of what Christ said to those disciples there in Luke 9. Christ was alone with his disciples, and he had just asked them who the people said that he was. He told them of God's plan for him, that he was to suffer many things, including the rejection of the elders and the priests and the scribes, and that he had to be slain, that he had to be crucified, that he was to be raised on the third day. And then he said to them in Luke 9, verse 23, he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And let him take up his cross when? Daily and follow me. And then he goes on and says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Now he's talking to some people. He's talking to the disciples. He's talking about a work that he is ordaining them to do. He's talking about getting them ready for when he was going away. And then he says, for what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come to his own glory. And his father, and in his father's, and of the holy angels. So God is telling us that we have a calling, and he expects that we will do it willingly, that we will take up the cross every single day, that we will deny ourselves, you know, and that we will seek to do the most important thing, which is to follow him, to follow him. Every day, a new declaration. Every day, a new denial of self, so that the gospel might be preached and that all mankind might know that today is a day of salvation. That's the giving for the calling. It requires giving of yourselves for the call. And that has to be our motivation. That's got to be the ultimate reward. We are to expect that sometimes it will be difficult. And sometimes our plans won't go as we thought they would go. Sometimes the people might not respond to the word in the way that we expect. Sometimes people might not listen. Sometimes they might wiggle. Sometimes they might be distracting. Sometimes they might talk. Sometimes they might sleep. But the motivation cannot be altered.
It has got to be to preach the gospel, to declare that all mankind might repent, that today is the day of salvation. And we've got to give ourselves to that. That is the gospel. And we got to get the gospel out to all who receive it. Not change it, not make it fancy, but keep it real and keep it plain and keep it simple. Giving for the calling means keep going no matter what. No matter what. No matter what. And you know, God gives us some great examples of guys who kept going no matter what. And Jeremiah is a great one. You know, Jeremiah 20, flip over there, page 572. Jeremiah was one of the prophets that God called to speak to the children of Israel. I believe that God's heart was that the children of Israel might not go through the great battle with Nebuchadnezzar. He sent several prophets to warn them, to be the watchman, to say, repent, to say, be transformed, let me restore you, let me show you my forgiveness and live for me. Jeremiah was one of those. And God called Jeremiah to really just preach repentance. But guess what? They didn't listen. And Jeremiah was beaten. He was imprisoned. And Jeremiah wanted to quit. If you go and you read all of Jeremiah 20, verse 7, of Jeremiah 20, you'll see that Jeremiah was complaining. He was complaining to God about his calling. And even in Jeremiah's complaining, he realized that he had to give of himself for this calling that God had placed upon his life. Let's start reading in verse number 7, Jeremiah 20. He says, O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. And I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. He says, you know what? You called me into this thing. And I had the impression that, you know, it was going to be me telling the people and the people respond. He said, you tricked me. He said, this thing isn't easy at all. He says, but you're stronger than me. Your calling has prevailed. He said, but every single day, somebody is mocking me for declaring your word. Now look what he says. For since I spake, verse 8, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil. Because of the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. He says, I'm done with this calling. I'm done with it. I'm done with it. He says, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing and I could not stay. He said, I had to keep doing it. It was like fire on the inside of me. He says, for I heard the defaming of many. Fear on every side. These people steal. He says, I felt the calling even stronger. But the people were just as determined that they were going to beat me up, Lord. He says, I heard the defaming of many. They were talking about me. Fear on every side. They were threatening to hurt me. He says, report, say they. And we were reported. He says, you got anything on Jeremiah? You got anything you can tell that we can tell the king about Jeremiah? He says, all my familiars watched for my haltings. He's like the people who were around me, the people who knew me, the people who were intimate with me, the people who were like my peoples. He says, they were all looking for things going, he's going to slip up. He's going to be like us one day, saying, peradventure, he will be enticed. And then we shall prevail against him. We're going to say, aha! You're just like us. You're just like us. You're fake. He says, we're going to prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him. He says, but the Lord is with me. Amen. He says, I'm going to live out this calling. I'm going to live out this calling. I might fuss. It might not always go as I thought it was going to go. But he says, I'm going to live it out because the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore, my persecutors shall stumble and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed. And you know what? Where did we get confirmation that those who
deny the Lord, those who try to refuse to take up a cross and deny the Lord every day will be ashamed. That those who will not declare the name of God will be ashamed in the day that God comes. He said that, and Jesus said that in Luke chapter 9 to the disciples. He says, "I want you to recognize here." He says they're going to stumble. They're not going to prevail. They're going to be greatly ashamed. Verse 11. He says, "For they shall not prosper." Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. But, O Lord of hosts, that trieth the righteous, and seeth the reins and the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them. For unto thee have I opened my cause. I do what I do because of the call you have placed on my life and the responsibility, Lord, that goes with it. Sing unto the Lord, praise you the Lord, for he hath delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of the evildoers. Jeremiah says, "I give myself to the calling." The man of God today must say, "I give myself to the calling." And it's got to be like a fire that's shut up in the bones that just wants to get out, even in the midst of persecution, even in the midst of people looking for reasons to entice, people looking for reasons to doubt. God says we must carry on. So what is my reward then, Paul asks in our text? What is my reward? My reward, Paul says, is that when I preach the gospel, I preach the gospel. That's a simple reward. What's my reward? My reward is that I get to preach the gospel. Ultimately, he says, and that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, costless, free to all, a healing stream that flows from Calvary's mountain. Without charge and without any abuse of power in the gospel, giving his everything for the call. And God's call on Paul's life changed him. And I tell you what, that's what we got to be looking for, is the change that the call of God has placed on the man of God. You know, I think today, look over at Philippians chapter 3, page 868. Today, I believe too many are blindly following those who they see no evidence of a change. They're following those who've never had that fire shut up in their bones. Those who have never been brought out of the miry clay. Never placed their feet on the solid rock. Those who are still straddling the fence, and those who are still like children tossed to and fro, those who are still wavering, unstable, like water. But Paul was not that man. Paul was a man who says, my reward is that I get to preach the gospel. And I preach it without, I get to preach the gospel without charge. I get to preach the gospel without damaging the gospel. I get to preach the gospel, evidencing that the gospel has changed me and that it can change others as well. He said, that's my reward. That's my reward. That's why he said earlier, if I'm going to do anything that's going to cause the gospel not to be glorified, the gospel not to be able to reach the people, I'm going to do anything, then it's better for me just to die. Because I don't want to get in the way. I want the gospel to go forth. And I want it to go forth with power. And in Philippians chapter 3, we see how Paul was changed. He was changed forever. It was a permanent change. And that's what giving for the call is all about. It's about letting the call change who you are, so that you might be able to express what he's done for you, so that others might see the simplicity and the effectiveness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Philippians 3, skip down to verse number 4. Here's what the Bible says. He says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, Paul is now bragging about who he is. Of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew, of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Now Paul is talking about the man he used to be. He says, before the gospel, I thought I was all that, is what he's saying right here. I mean, he says, before that, I thought I was it. And he says, and if anybody ever wanted to compare their credentials, I was ready. I had my resume, and I was ready to show it to anybody who needed to see it. My spiritual resume, my bloodline, I said, here's who I am, and here's why I do what I do. He says, I was a Pharisee. I knew the word. I knew God's word, he said. I'm a Jew. I'm a Hebrew. I'm one of the tribe of Benjamin. He says, I'm all those things. But he says, in all that, you know what I wasn't? I wasn't a child of God. I had no idea who Jesus was. But then he says, but what things were gained to me? Those I counted loss for Christ. This is the transformation. This is the giving of ourselves for the cause. He says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things, all those things that me. He's like he's saying, I took that resume and I threw it in the trash. I took those words that I boastfully spoke to the people and I cast them away from me. He says, the things, all those things I count but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. In other words, he says, guys, the gospel changed my perspective. It changed my outlook on life. It changed what was important to me. And he said, the things that I used to just rack up and hold on to, he said, it's just like dung in the field. It's just like throw it away, you can have it. He says, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. He said, that's all I want. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the righteousness of the dead. Everlasting life. He said, that's what I want. All the rest I give it away, just so that I might know him. And the man of God will ultimately be rewarded by God himself. We will be rewarded for how we have built on the foundation, which is Christ. We have the responsibility to live out this calling and give ourselves to this calling so that the gospel is always, always, always without charge. Always without charge. Let's close out with David in Psalm 40, if you don't mind. David was a man with a calling on his life. David was a man who suffered many things. He was a man who lived for the Lord and gave of himself for the Lord. And the Lord blessed him. And that same Lord Jesus Christ who blessed David is still in the business of blessing his people. And he'll bless us today. Man of God, person of God, lady of God, child of God. God has placed a calling on each one of our lives. He expects that we will live it out, give ourselves to it. David in Psalm 40, beginning at verse number 1, he says this, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. Now David's not talking about he just sat around and waited. He's talking about he served. He was faithful. He sought after the Lord. He said, he brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the mire clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. This is what happened to Paul. This is what he was describing in Philippians chapter number 3. And he says, and he hath put a new song in my heart, in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. He says, people are going to be witnessed to. The lives of people are going to be changed because of what God has done for me. He says, blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such
as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offerings thou dost not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offerings, offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head, therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Three times today in this message we've heard about those who will be ashamed because they reject the Lord. He said, let them be driven backwards and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Lord, it's your thing. Use me as you see fit. I tell you what, one more thing I wanted to show you from that Psalm 40, which I thought was quite cool. Just in the middle there, verse number 7, he says, then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I believe there we see, you know, David is sharing with us what God has showed him about our Savior Christ. He said, this whole book is about me. It's about Christ. It's about the gospel. It's about the calling. It's about repentance. It's about a world who needs salvation. And then it's like Christ just begins to preach to us there, guys. And I don't want you to miss that. He says, I delight to do thy will. Oh, my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. When Christ prayed, he says, Father, let thy will be done. So God is showing us some awesome things there. He says, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. He took the gospel message. And he gave it to the whole world so that the whole world might repent. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Oh, he showed us God's great love for us. Right there. Right there. God let David preach about Christ so that we might know what is the most important thing. It's the gospel. It's the gospel. That's the heart of God. That is the heart of God. And the ultimate reward is to be able to live out the calling, share it. Share it. This is a lesson for the man of God, but an application for the people of God, I believe. Our ultimate reward for our service to the Lord. What is it? Well done. Well done. Good and faithful servant. Well done. Let's pray. Father, for all that you have shared with us this morning from your word, we say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a word that shows us that your heart is always toward your people. And I pray as we have spoken today about Paul's reward for sharing the gospel, we might all walk away with this one assurance that the gospel must always be first. That we must always declare the message of salvation. That we must always share with a lost and dying world that your message is that all mankind must repent, must seek your forgiveness, must seek after your salvation, and must live their lives for you. Lord, I'm thankful for the many examples you've given us in your word. And I pray that we might apply these words to our own hearts.
Lord, let us look for you in the volumes of the book that you have given to us. Let us see your heart, your will, and your way for us. Lord, I pray that we might not be discouraged, but that we might stay the course, that we might keep on doing what we know that you have declared for us through the gospel of Jesus Christ. I love you, Lord, today. I love you because of your message, because of your salvation, because of your grace, because of your mercy, and because you've allowed me to be your holy temple. Let me walk worthy of that, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.